Als du das Tag des Gemahls bei einem Wes ist und vorne teil, die Arbeiter und die Bakte der Bahn, das war mit Papa Maran zu gehen. Jai Om Vishnu Paramahansa Parivaya Jai Astodos Vatsa Sima Dishvayindres Chila Bhakti Siddhanta Saswajta Guru Vosan Papa Maharaj Ananta Kota Vajna Vengi Nama Chaya Sila Haridas Kota Ki Pram Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Pavuni Tananda Si Advita Gada Si Vasari Sigura Bhakti Vengi Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanti Sri Vrindavan Dhanati Sri Mathura Dhanati Sri Mayapa Dhanati Sri Navarka Dhanati Sri Jagannapura Dhanati Jangamaya Yamanamaya Sri Matakosi Dhiri Bhakta Dhiri Samavira Bhakta Vimiti Nikai Guru Dhivanandi All glory to the sum of the voices. All glory to the sum of the voices. All glory to the sum of the voices. All glory is all glory to the Guru and Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 32, text 21. So we'd like to welcome everyone to these our regular Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and today I've been given the opportunity to facilitate this program. I say facilitate because I'm not really like the teacher. There are so many teachers here. And you know, when I was asked to give the class, I was just telling the guru that I have so many of my teachers here. So they should give the class and I should listen to them. And he said, no, Maharaj, you need to speak. So I was thinking with the other devotee that, you know, the system is like in the academic where the professors, they teach the student, and at some point in time, the student has to make his dissertation, and so they set him up so that, you know, whatever he says, what his presentation, they will be able to pick holes in it and then wallop him. But, so, this is a very interesting chapter because it has to do with entanglement in fruitive activities. So we'll go on to the text. Tatas.
Tatas.
Te.
Te.
Chinasukritaha.
Chinasukritaha.
Puna.
Puna.
Lokam.
Lokam.
Imam.
Imam.
Sati.
Sati.
Patanti.
Patanti.
Divasa,
Divasa,
Deva,
Deva,
Sadhyo,
Sadhyo,
Ripansito Dayaha,
Ripansito Dayaha,
Tataste Chinasukritaha,
Tataste Chinasukritaha,
Punalokam Imamsiti,
Punalokam Imamsiti,
Patanti, Patanti Vivasa Deva
Patanti Vivasa Deva
Sadhyo Vibhamsi Todayaha
Sadhyo Vibhamsi Todayaha
Namaste China Sukritaha.
Namaste China Sukritaha.
Punalokam Imam Sati.
Punalokam Imam Sati.
Patanti Vivasadeva.
Patanti Vivasadeva.
Sadyo Vibhram Sitodayaha.
Sadyo Vibhram Sitodayaha.
Tataste China Sukritaha.
Tataste China Sukritaha.
Punalokam Imam Sati.
Punalokam Imam Sati.
Patanti Vivasadeva.
Patanti Vivasadeva.
Sadyo Vibhram Sitodayaha.
Sadyo Vibhram Sitodayaha. So translation, when the results of their perilous activities are exhausted, they fall down by a higher arrangement and again come back to this planet. Just as any person raised to a high position sometimes all of a sudden falls. Please respond to repeat. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they fall down by higher arrangements. They fall down by higher arrangements.
And again come back to this planet.
And again come back to this planet.
Just as any person raised to a high position.
Just as any person raised to a high position.
Sometimes all of a sudden falls.
Sometimes all of a sudden falls.
Top. It is sometimes found that a person elevated to a very high position in government falls, in government service, falls down all of a sudden. And no one can check him. Seemingly, after finishing their period of enjoyment, foolish persons who are very much interested in being elevated to the position of president in higher planets, also fall down to this planet. The distinction between the elevated position of a devotee and that of an ordinary person attracted to fruitive activities is that when a devotee is elevated to the spiritual kingdom, he never falls down. Whereas, an ordinary person falls, even if he is elevated to the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita
Abraham, Abub, and Lot, that even if one is elevated to a higher planet, he has to come down again. But Krishna confirms in Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Man Opetya to Kuntiya Puna Janma Navidit. Anyone who attains my abode never comes back to this conditioned life of material existence. Om Jnana Timirandasya, Jnana Timirandasya, Saksho Medetam, Kira Tasmai, Sri Kudreva. All protocols observed. This text is very pertinent to what is transpiring all over the world. A Papa very expertly gives a very typical current analogy in his pocket. Now this is what happens with expert writers, that they write that they don't confuse their readers. There are two classes of writers. One simply writes to show his erudition and confuse his reader. The reader gets confused, he gets entangled, because he wants to demonstrate that I know better than you. The other class of writer, he writes in a way that is there, his message, he transmits his message through the medium of the book in a very simple way. In a very simple way, but not in a simplistic way. There are two different things. So, here Prabhupada is transmitting his message in a very simple language that anyone can understand. So, traditionally, people read books and they say, I don't understand what the author is saying. It's so confusing. We can't say this purport is confusing. Can anyone say this purport is confusing? It's just straight. Without missing words, Papa gives vivid explanation of what he tends to transmit to the audience. So, here's the situation. Even the title of the chapter alone is very alluring. Entanglement in fruitive activities. I know in the Institute of Noetic Sciences, a prolific writer, he wrote a book, Entangled Minds. And apparently what he's trying to transmit is that in this world, people are entangled. So, this chapter is also dealing with the entangled situation of jivas who are engaged in fruitive activities. So, the background of this very whole chapter has to do with Kapila Muni or Kapila Dev with Mother Devahuti. A dialogue is going on, and it is a grounded dialogue. A grounded dialogue means that the inquirer wants to know something, and he depends on the person that is making inquiries from to be able to get his facts straight. It is also similar to what is technically called critical praxis, whereby information is to be gotten, but you have to get information by posing some questions to your mentor so as to be able to elicit the data you need. That is exactly what Devahuti set in place here. So, Kapila is actually, it's like the research participant. And Devahuti is the researcher. So she wants to know some certain things, and there is a research participant who is Kapila Muni that she wants to get information from. And so she is using the strategy of inquiry that is normally referred to as critical crisis. You ask questions, then from those questions, you put your questions in a very nice way. The questions normally they are not closed-ended questions. They are open-ended questions. In other words, open-ended questions gives the mentor or the participant to be able to elaborate whatever he knows about that subject matter. Whereas closed-ended questions simply requires no or yes. It's like an objective text. So here we find a situation where it is a typical example, a typical model of what is prescribed in the Banachian system, that a woman stays under the care, a girl child stays under the care of the parents until when she gets to a marriageable age. At a marriageable age, she stays under the auspices of the husband, of the capable husband who is not exploitative. And then, when the fourth child is in his mature stage, traditionally mature stage means 20 to 25. If even the child is fully, we have validated that the modern system, if even the child is fully 25 years, the child must have gotten maybe a master's degree also. So at that time, the father leaves home. He goes to the forest. The mother comes under the care of the child. So what type of care is it? Is it that the child has to simply walk so far to bring plenty of money to the mother for feeding? No. Here it is showing us a model. What is the relationship that should take place at that point in time? But the point remains that we have two types of children, although normally the male child is called a putra, but the male child could also be a mutra. A mutra means urine. Because the semen and urine, they come out from the same aperture, the same passage. The semen and urine come out from the same place. Therefore, a male child who is not able to deal or address the needs of the mother at the pressing need, at the time required for that. In other words, a male child who does not become perfected to be able to deliver the parents or to deliver the mother, to be able to instruct the mother when the father leaves home, takes to Vanaprastha or takes to Sanyas life. If the male child is not able to be in a position to give shelter to the mother, that male child is not a putra. He's what? A mutra. So we shouldn't try to become mutras. We should not work so hard to become mutras. We should work very hard to become real putra. So here, Kapila Muni is bringing to limelight the process of relocation. People like to relocate, especially in Western countries. People don't like to stay in one place for a long time. They relocate. They live in this place, and then the next time they relocate, they change. If even they buy houses, they sell their house and then go to another place. That is basically what the living entity is imbued with, that mentality of trying to change situations. But changing situations just for the sake of relocation is meaningless, because one will again come back to the beginning. So in the purport here, Papa refers to Bhagavad Gita 8:16, where Lord Krishna mentions that Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avati Noji, that from the highest planet of Brahma Lok to the lowest planet, Patala, they are all places where repeated birth and death takes place. So if one relocation itself is not a bad idea, To change your location is not a bad idea. But where would we want to relocate to? That is the important factor. So, here, Capella Moni is again validating. Again, we find that, you know, statements have to have two major characteristics. There should be some validation and reliability. So Kapila Devi is actually validating Lord Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16. And not only that, Kapila is also validating the statement made by Lord Brahma and the other and the host of demigods when they had to render prayers to Lord Krishna when he was in the womb of the Devaki. You remember when Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudev and later transferred himself to the heart of Devaki? The demigods noticed that. At that time, Devaki was resplendent with beauty. So, the demigods actually came by to offer their prayers. And in those prayers, in one of those prayers, they said, Yenye Ravidaksha Vimukta Mani. To ask a Baba, how we saw the Buddha? Arya, Krishna, Padam Pata, Patanti Ado, Patanti. That word Patanti is also here in this verse. Patanti means to fall. Patanti Ado, Nagbuta, Yusman Angre. So the demigods, in essence, they were making this prayer to Krishna in the womb. They were saying, O Lord, whose eyes are like a lotus. If one is able to attain you, or if someone neglects to achieve you, if even he goes to merge into the Brahman effulgence, but because they neglect your lotus feet, they will fall down again to this material world. So Kapila Dev is validating the statement of Lord Krishna. It's also validating the statement made by Lord Brahma and the other demigods in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when statements have reliability and validity, they are accepted as authority. That is why in our system we have what is called Guru, Sadhu, and Sastra, a check and balance system. We request our devotees to read what Prabhupada has given to us so that if someone is not, or if someone is simply trying to rationalize his deviation, we should put a blade of grass between our lips and ask for a reference. I speak fast and my good spiritual uncle is here. If I get him too fast, you raise up your hands, I'll see you, and then I know what is going on. We are trained in such a way that we have to deliver perhaps a 25 page of paper in 18 or 20 minutes in the academy. So I get really sometimes wrapped over with that, and sometimes I talk and then I forget that I'm in it. Assemble of devotees that I should actually go in a very moderate way. So, if I go too fast, please let me know. So, here we'll find a phenomenon. What is the motivation of people trying to go to the heavenly planets? Again, everything, every step we take in this world, this is also the beauty of being very intelligent. People should read. People should try to figure out motivations. What is the motivation? People want to go to heaven. People are aspiring to go to heaven.
Or people have been working so hard to go to heaven, but what is their motivation? There's a motivation, there is also a process of going to the heavenly planets. But Krishna identifies this whole concept of going to the heavenly planets as a problem, as a social problem, as a spiritual problem. And for someone to make a thesis, there should be a problem. So the problem here is that people try to go to the heavenly planets where life itself is again temporary. So, the point is, yes, this is a problem, but how to deal with it? Krishna gave a procedure. Again, here, even in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada made a reference to the 8th chapter, text 16 here, where Krishna not only pinpointed the problem or made presented a research question or a problem, but Krishna also gave a solution to it. A solution of how to stop this process of relocation, meaningless relocation. Going from one planet, one Brahmana to the other. Brahmana, Brahmi, Te. So, Krishna gave the solution. Mam upetya to Kuntiya. That if one comes to my own abode, Puna Janma, the Vedas, Puna, to take back a gift. That is closed. That chapter is closed. You don't again have to relocate to the place where you will have to undergo some miseries. Earlier in the Gita 8:15, before Krishna went on to give the solution, he has also described the nature of this material world. Dukalayam, a Sanskrit. And it's not just this earth planet alone. The whole material, the whole cosmic manifestation is simply replete with dukkhalayam as sanswata. It's temporary. Not only is it temporary, it's just replete with miseries. Therefore, Narada Muni instructed the answer there, he said, Tashela Heto, Prayateta Kovida, Nalabyate, Yabramata, Upariada, falling back, up, down. Narada Muni said, intelligent people, Ka Kovida, intelligent, they don't embark on this business of just relocating for the sake of relocation. Relocation is a process, but to relocate just for the sake of relocation is foolishness. So the point is, after hearing, Pashyama Pinna Parishati, even after hearing, after seeing, the conditioned soul, we have to understand what it takes to be conditioned. The conditioned soul, these statements don't make meaning to him. It just goes on embarking on the process of how to relocate for the sake of relocation. That is because of the condition. One psychologist even made an experiment to demonstrate the intense miseries involved in being conditioned. He got a dog. Each time he brings food to the dog, he rings a bell. So the dog also got to understand that my food is there. Each time the bell rings, the dog immediately will start salivating. Because, you know, the food is there means, you know, the enzymes have to produce the required, system has to produce the required enzyme to do the necessary things. So, when you perform this experiment, to the point that the dog becomes conditioned to the food and the bear. So then, he didn't bring the food. He simply ran the bear. He simply ran the bear and the dog started salivating. This is a demonstration of what it takes to be conditioned. When someone is conditioned, it is very difficult to actually realistically become disentangled from even the most abominable situation. And so like, we're hearing here, Kapela Moon is instructing Mother Deva Hoti, the futility of going to this higher planet is it's a whole futile process. Because again, you come down. After exhausting your pile of credits, again, you come down. You're exhausted, you finished. Your merit, then it's all over, it's used up. It's like you have a visa, you go to a particular country, and there is a record. How long your visa, the duration of your visa. And if the time is up, if you don't check yourself out, they check you out. So it is like that. So here, Kapila is mentioned, bring it to bear, that the whole thing is by a higher arrangement. You can't receive, you can't say no. I like to still be here in the heavenly plan because, you know, there is all these gardens of Nandakanana, and the women are very beautiful, so you, there are airplanes that don't make noise like the ones we have here. Huh? I remember I was complaining in DC that, you know, this travels, I mean, it gives me a lot of problems because I prefer to go by train instead of going by airplane. Of course, a train not here in India. So in America, I prefer to go by train. But sometimes the trains are more expensive than even in the aircraft. So then it boils down to the point that you're a poor brahmachari and you have to go by the cheapest process, by cheapest means. And, you know, you have to board the airplane, but then it gives a lot of problems. The ears, it gives you biting. A stinking bite that is unbearable. And then I was complaining to somebody who was in DC, and then they said, oh my gosh, come on, it happens to everybody. I mean, we all pass through this situation. But people are conditioned to it, they don't complain. It's normal. It's normal to suffer. Why are you complaining? You just know how to suffer. So, the point is, here we have been told that, and probably this a very current, nowadays they have what is called modules. You know, when you're going to for graduate studies, there are all these modules, studies are based on modules. And so, in most cases, I know in the case of the decision sciences, applied management and decision sciences, they have modules that, you know, have to do. The primary thing is the theory. And then you have to relate that to current situations. That is the depth. And then you go to the application. So here, we'll find similar things to proper failure. Now, here is a case where, and keep in mind that what is on ground is a typical case study of how to give audience to the needs of facilitating a higher existence. And we have Kapila Muni giving us his thesis. But the problem is that if a living entity is clever enough to imbibe this culture, then he has to apply what he has gotten from the depth of the knowledge to his own life to be able to have some realizations.
So Prabhupada gives a very excellent analogy in the purpose. He said, just like big politicians, big position holders in government. I know the typical case of Eliot Spitzer, the past governor of New York. Even his own colleagues, when he was in power, when even his own colleagues, other lawyers, they get scared of him because he's a very intelligent person and he makes policies, he formulates policies that people get scared. And he became a victim of those same policies he formulated. He fell down from his position. Again, we find that what Prabhupada is mentioning here is a typical example of someone who is a real Vaishnava scholar practitioner. There are Vaishnava scholars, but in most cases, it is very difficult to find Vaishnava scholar practitioner. And Prabhupada is a typical example of someone who is a Vaishnava scholar practitioner. He relates what is in the literature to current situations. Now, if we simply, there's no harm in repeating what we have heard, but parrots also can repeat things. Parrots, they repeat very nicely. They don't have any application of what they repeat. So the idea of a Prabhupada giving a typical or current example in terms of his analogy is to be able to allow us to relate the Vedic tradition to current situations, or the Vedic literature to current situations, or the Vaishnava philosophy to current situations. And if we are able to relate the Vaishnava philosophy to current situations, we'll find that we have solutions to all the problems in this world. One of the chapters in the Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. And so if we have the answers to all the problems of this world, what would we do to be able to address the problems of the world? Or we take initiation and that's it. I've achieved the goal. That's it. But the idea is that we, somehow or the other, we have to assume the position of facilitating people from becoming disentangled in this material world, just like Kapila Dev is facilitating Devahuti's situation to become disentangled from the shackles of material incoherences. This material world is just a bunch of problems. So sometimes people are thinking, if I get to that situation, then I'll be happy. I was in Africa last couple of months, and in Nigeria there was one student who wanted me to see his parents because there was a trouble in the home. His mother and his father, they were having some trouble. So when I went to meet the mother of this boy, I spoke with her to be able to, placate her based on what he's experiencing in the home from the husband. Because the boy is in university, and then he told me all of the details of what is just there. I earlier had spoken with his father, and the father apologized for what that was just there. But then the boy was still not contented, and he wanted me to see him. So this is the concern of a young man. So when I met his mother, I spoke to her. And when I was to leave, you know what the woman told me? She doesn't even know that I'm a sannyasi or something like that. But I was putting on the Vaishnava dress.
You know what she told me? She said, "Brother, if you ever have a chance, don't get mad." This is a typical African woman who doesn't know anything about Vaishnava philosophy. So, and in Africa, people are very open, you know? They're very open, and sometimes we find that even in married life, when a woman has given the required number of children to the husband, they separate, they live in different apartments, they live in the same home, but the woman will sleep in another room, the husband will sleep in another room. Yes, I've seen several cases. The husband and wife, but you know, it's all over. So, the point is, a child, a male child, should be the source of solace to the parents. That's the point. Now, there's a lot of background on this very thing. A lot of background. If you go into even the relationship or the relationship between a spouse or between a husband and a wife, or relationship between a child and a parent, or relationship between a son and a mother, we have a lot to learn from this case study of David Booty and Kapinade. So we should be in a position to be able to give some relief, especially the male children. Now, the point is that if we don't produce well-groomed children in Krishna consciousness, children who are well-groomed, and again, there's a science to that effect, how to produce children, dependable children, that will validate the shastra. That's a whole process. And the evidence is right there in this model that we are dealing with. Evidence is that Kapila Dev took birth in the home of Kadama and Devahut to be able to give these valuable instructions to the mother. Apparently, the both parents had high devotional consciousness. To simply have emotional intelligence is not enough. Emotional intelligence means integration of social skills and self-management. That is not enough. Except we incorporate that emotional intelligence with devotional culture, genuine devotional culture, we will end up producing children who will become a disgrace to us and the whole community. The pride of a parent is to produce a child that will come and deliver the parents from the onslaught of samsara. And the child is not actually acting in a devotional way. It's like the child used a needle to seal up the lips of the parents. The child is covertly saying, "Shut up. Don't say anything where you go. Because if you want to correct someone else, they will ask you, what about your child?" So, especially the young people who are going to the Grihastha Ashram, we want people in this movement, we want children to be like, children like Kapila Dev to appear in our movement. And therefore, it behooves all of those who are aspiring to go into the Grihastha Ashram to understand that there is a high responsibility that goes with that ashram. Now the world is lacking information on how to become free from the troubles that everyone is actually passing through. But if we are having children, who will come to deliver the world? Not only their family, not only their parents, that will come to deliver the world. Then, that is the pride of parenthood. Who will not be proud of a child like Kapila Dev? Who is that parent who will not be proud towards a child? So like I mentioned, the background of this topic is so wide. The base, it will keep increasing the domain of our devotional culture. If we expand further and further, it will even take days. But essentially, Lord Krishna has dissuaded us from trying to go to higher planets. In other words, Lord Krishna does not very much subscribe to the idea of his devotees trying to enjoy the facilities of this material world separately from him. Because the motivation of going to the heavenly planets is to enjoy, isn't it? And so when they say, well, I'm not desiring to go to the heavenly planets, but what if we are also desiring to enjoy this material world? It's the same mentality, the same phenomenological mindset. So, we have to imbibe a culture that is oriented in satisfying the needs of the body, but also cultivating a knowledge base that will allow us to excel in our devotional cultures to have to become perfected souls in this life. That is the sum and substance of these verities. Relocation itself is not a bad concept. It's not a bad phenomenon. But there is no need for us to move from one place to another place to experience the same type of situation. Krishna has assured us, if we come back to his kingdom, we will not come back again to undergo these miseries of repeated birth and death. Hare Krishna. Are there some comments, some questions, some chastisements, whatever? Yes. You are very intelligent boy, because I see you ask questions in every class. Asking questions is more important than even answering questions. Asking questions is even more important than asking questions and than answering questions, because asking questions requires a lot of creativity and critical thinking. So ask a question. Yes.
Okay, you explained that we need intelligence to use the scriptures in our practical life, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that intelligence depend on? Karma?
Intelligence is a material phenomenon. But that material phenomenon could actually be used in the service of Lord Krishna, and it becomes a principle or utility. Prabhupada says utility is a principle. It's just like we have this body. It's a bad body. Bad one. Then we can make best use of this bad body. That is why we are in devotional service. So, everyone has intelligence. But our intelligence, because it has to do with the material body, basically is material intelligence. Nowadays, people have developed different concepts like emotional intelligence, which is just a combination of self-management and social skills. But we are saying that we should actually get to the level of devotional intelligence. In other words, understanding the principle that there is a difference between matter and spirit, and that there is a difference between the jiva and the paramatma. That is also a commitment that the jiva has to render service to the Supreme Lord. This is intelligence. But if intelligence is simply meant, is geared toward speculative or simply based on intellectual quotient, then it does not really elevate the living entity. It becomes a source of degradation. Because we find that most people are very intelligent, materially speaking, that they can't control their senses. Why to wake them? It's not there. The wake them, the pushes of the senses, they can't deal with it.
So, the point is that
to have intelligence, all of us, everybody has intelligence. Then we have to use our intelligence meaningfully, directed towards service of Guru and Krishna. The intelligence becomes purified. Otherwise, it becomes like what Lord Brahma refers to as Avisu the Buddha, impure intelligence. To strive to go to merge into Brahma's jyoti, Lord Brahma said that is impure intelligence. There's intelligence that they didn't say it is contaminated intelligence. So we have to purify intelligence in devotional service by simply, and the prime objective, prime duty, is to simply chant Hare Krishna. And intelligence becomes purified. I don't know whether I have addressed the question.
So does this mean that material intelligence has nothing to do with devotional intelligence?
No! Material intelligence has something to do with devotional service. You can use the material intelligence to cultivate bhakti and you become purified.
So, if you don't have material intelligence?
Everyone has material intelligence. This body is material body, and so all of the elements within this body, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, they are all material elements. And these material elements will be purified in devotional service.
I'm not sure, like some people are more intelligent than others.
That's some people are more intelligent.
That condition.
Some people are richer than others, isn't it? Some people are... People, we are not... Krishna does not endow us with the same potentials. People are endowed... There are some people who are... I know, one of my friends has 5 PhDs. So, some other person can't even get a master's degree. Some people, they can't, they just hate to go to school. And sometimes when we come to devotional service, we are lazy. The children, some children are very lazy, and then they say, I just become a devotee and don't want to go to school. So, if you don't, if, I remember some years back, you know, some young devotees children, they came to meet me in Africa. They said, your young people just finished their high school. They said, what shall we do with our lives? I said, okay, so I turned to them and asked them, so how many of you here are going to become sciences? they looked around to themselves and then they said, nobody. I said, get some skills so that when you're performing your devotional service and you get married, then you'll be able to fend for yourself and your family with that. So, sometimes we're just lazy and we don't want to do anything, and then we say, we just rationalize why we don't want to do anything because we use devotion as a cover. And it's just that we're lazy, that's it. So, yes, the point is, some people are more intelligent than others, but that is the workings of material nature, you know? Just like some people have a lot of pious credit from their past life, and so in this life, they are born into opulent aristocratic situations, etc. Someone is born as a child to a Madhu man, right there, out there. I've seen a Madhu man one country on the street. She's pregnant. A Madhu man. So, that's not a very auspicious day for that child. So we are born into different situations. That is the arrangement of. Kapila said everything is based on higher arrangements. He says it's higher arrangement. He said by higher arrangement, you mean you are the heavenly planets, when your pious activities are exhausted, you'll be thrown down here. So it's all higher arrangements.
My question was like, how can material conditions affect devotional service? I mean, as far as I understand, spiritual and material men are mixed together.
No. See, the point is, this body, as you see, is a material body. If this body is used in the service of the Lord, the body becomes purified. It's like you put a nail. You know a nail? If you put a nail in fire, the nail is not fire. But if you put a nail into the fire, the nail will become hot. And gradually, it acquires all the qualities of fire. If it touches you, it will burn you. So that is the nature of devotional service. Devotional service is a spiritual fire that if we become engaged in devotional service, we get purified, we acquire these higher qualities. You understand the point now?
How long have you been around? How long have you been in devotional service? For life. Gurukul, you should be able to understand this. But you also find time to listen to more Prabhupada's lectures. They're very simple language, and you'll be able to, you know, understand these basic elements. Yes. This is a question out of this time factor. Why do the putra have to be a male child? Why the spirit matter have to be conditioned to a material body? Thank you. See. Okay, that's a question here. I thought, you know, they remind me of time. I'm conscious of time when I give classes. And in India, normally people don't care about the time, but you know,
I'm
conscious.
Can you put the question more?
The question is why the putra have to be a male child. The putra is a male. The putra Sanskrit term putra means male child. A male child means putra. So I don't know why he's asking why it has to be a male child. This is linguistic. A putra means a male child. I mean, it's Sanskrit, it's not my language. So there is putra and there is mutra. Mutra means union. The putra comes from semen, from the semen. And the semen and union, they come out through the same passage. And so the point is that the male child, the putra, is supposed to be like Kapila Muni or Kapila Devi, who will be a source of solace to the parents, devotional, spiritual. So if the putra, the male child, simply becomes a materialist, dies a materialist, he's not to be called, recognized as a putra. Because a putra, a male child, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned that if someone was not pious, has no sufficient pious credit from his past existence, he will not get a male child in this life. It's there in the Bhagavatam. So male child is actually a special endowment. And so if someone is a male child, we have to understand that you are also having high commitment, high responsibilities. Not just a male child, and that's it. So, if the male child is not in position to be able to deliver his parents, then it's a mutra, it's just urine. I mean, in other words, he didn't attain or didn't actually fulfill the objective of his existence. Why would spirit matter have to be conditioned to a material body? That is our desire to be in material bodies because we want to enjoy separately from Lord Krishna. So the only way to be able to do that is to be awarded a material body. And by being awarded a material body, we have a facility to be able to enjoy separately from Krishna and become more and more entangled in this material world. At the same time, we can also reverse the situation with knowledge. We have knowledge, we are equipped with knowledge, and now we can actually resolve that I want to put an end to this conditional existence, this life. I want to engage myself in devotional service. So if one engages in devotional service, the condition exists, the conditioned nature of that entity will become relieved from the condition. Hare Krishna. Yes, you want to ask?
I think when they said putra, they mean why is it not only the male child can deliver the parents? Why can't the daughter deliver?
Oh, the daughter becomes perfected also, you can deliver the parents. Why not? I know one devotee in DC. I mean, she's a banker, and every year she comes to Vrindavan, and she's in Vrindavan, she chants 64 rounds every day. She's a bank manager in Washington. And Aspatya Master, she told me the story of Aspatya Master, and it was just amazing. And so, even a female child
could deliver the parents, could deliver even a whole planet. Why not? You know, sometimes we tend to undermine the women. They're just undesirable elements. No, that's not true. Because even this whole planet is under the supervision of a woman. What a woman. Even learning is under the auspices of a woman. As far as touching, is it? So, because we want to show our toughness, you know, and then we say the women, oh, they're just a bunch of undesirable elements. That is not true. Huh? A society that does not protect women and children spares dismal consequences. A society that does not protect women and children spares dismal consequences. So I want you to raise that thing, because I don't want to talk about those things, but all over the world, women are being abused like anything. I did a class, I was doing a class in Virginia, and I asked one guy about if he travels to India, he's coming back to his home, won't he buy something for his wife and his children? And immediately I raised that question. I was asking one gentleman in the class. And then a woman snapped out from the back and pointed fingers to that man. Hey, be sincere, be sincere. Is the wife. So the women, they shouldn't think that, you know, they're free people. They can do anything, and they're getting just to cook and then serve. No, they also can deliver. Thank you very much for that input. Yeah. All right, Shri Prabhupada.